Luke 11, let's read verses 1 through 4 again in this course, Prayer 201. With Christ in the school of prayer, they asked the Lord to teach them to pray in verse number 1. And so he answers that request. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord gives us anything we ask if we ask according to his will. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray in verse number 1. And so he did. Now, he didn't give us these words in verses 2 through 4 just so we could memorize and recite them in a vain, repetitious form. No, they are rather an outline. He says, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. I think the first four lessons I taught tell us that initially prayer is all about the Father. It's not about us first. It's about him. It's about his name. Honoring, exalting his name. It's about building his kingdom, about doing his will on earth. And so God does not exist for us to ignore, and then when we have an emergency or need some money or something like that, to just say, okay, God, here I am with my grocery list of requests. Now, some people pray that way, and God is very, very merciful and puts up with it and often helps people like that. I mean, that's better than saying nothing to him. But on the other hand, we're trying to learn a little deeper way what prayer is really all about, and mainly it's all about him. It's all about, Father, you're my Father. What can I do for you? Let me listen to you. Let me learn from you. Let me help you with your work. And I gave an illustration back then about when growing up on the farm, it was my dad's farm. It was all about him. Everything he told us to do was all about him. But as a result, after I did his will, after I learned from him and listened to him and did what he asked me to do, then there were quite a few benefits that came my way. And then it finally gets to us in verse 3. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So you see, thy in verse 2, us in verses 3 and 4. And so prayer is a discipline. The Lord is teaching us that first of all, we need to get familiar with the Father. We need to walk with him and go with him and work with him. And then it comes down to us and provision. Those things we talked about in earlier lessons. I want to go on, though. Last week we looked at verse 4, just the beginning statement, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And we talked about liberation praying last week, liberation praying. That word forgive means liberate us from our sins. It's an okay practice to confess your sins, but it's deeper to want to be liberated from them. And that's what our Lord was teaching here. Liberate us from our sins. I don't want to continue doing this over and over and over again the rest of my life till I die. So Lord, please set me free. But we found that he does not give us the power to be set free from our sins until we liberate everyone that is indebted to us. And sometimes people are struggling with a particular temptation or sin or whatever because they have not liberated somebody who sinned against them. And they're holding a grudge, or they're holding offense, or they're holding bitterness or hatred or anger towards somebody. And as long as we refuse to liberate that person from what they have done to us, we can never expect victory in our lives. So this is serious business here. Liberation praying. Now I want to get to leadership praying tonight. Notice it says after that statement, and you got to get the other lessons because I went deeper into all of them. If you missed them, they're available. We can get them to you on CD or something. But he talks about liberation at the beginning of verse 4, and then in the middle of verse 4 it says, and lead us not into temptation. Now I want to talk about leadership praying. Leadership praying. And lead us not into temptation. And just to clarify the matter, we won't get to this statement tonight, but the context is, but deliver us from evil. So the thought tonight is about temptation to do evil and how we need to rely on God through prayer to lead us away from the temptation to do evil. Evil's all around us, and it is not unique to any one of us. Paul told those at Corinth, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. There's not a person in this room who's facing some unique temptation, but that it's common to everyone else. It says, but God is faithful and will not allow us to be tempted above that which we're able, will provide a way of escape. Now, the way of escape is through prayer. That's the way of escape from temptation. Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. It is through constantly being watchful. That's a military term. It's the picture of a guard walking guard duty. Some of you were in the military. I was, and you'd get assigned to guard duty, and it was a very, very serious matter. I remember walking guard around the ammunition dump at Fort Gordon, Georgia, and man, you are in big trouble if you should fall asleep while walking guard duty. Huge trouble. And that's what the Lord's saying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said to his disciples, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. We need to watch out for temptation, and we need not to be blindsided by it. I mean, for the most part, we usually know where it comes from. And watch and pray. That's the way to escape. Pray that you enter not into temptation, our Lord taught them there in the Garden of Gethsemane the night that he was arrested. Now, you and I have an inherent weakness when it comes to leadership. We don't know the way that we should take. Keep your place here, if you will. I want to show you a couple verses. Go back to Jeremiah chapter number 10. You've got to, no one's ever going to really pray until they understand the state that they're in. You know, if a person says, oh, I'm fine, I'm not going to fall. It says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And a lot of times we are defeated by temptation because we have never yet humbly realized our inherent weakness in all of us. Jeremiah did. He said in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. I think what he's saying here is if you just leave man to his nature, he is going to mess up his life. He's going to mess up his decisions. He's going to make wrong choices. He's going to follow the path of least resistance, which is the path into evil. See, the spiritual life is like, I guess we could liken it to having to row a boat upstream. It is not natural to be spiritual. And nobody comes out of the womb being spiritual. It is something that must constantly be worked at as you row upstream, because all the current of the world and the flesh and the devil is against us. And if we're going to progress, we've got to keep rowing upstream. Now, as soon as we let off, what happens? We begin to flow back downstream. We begin to go backwards. I think that's maybe why the Old Testament word is often used for backsliding. backsliding, going back from where we previously were. And we have to understand that, man is lost, man is confused, man is confounded. He does not know his way. You and I do not know how to direct our steps. We need the Lord's help. And so he's teaching us that in the prayer we're looking at tonight. That one of the things we need to pray is, lead us not into temptation. Lord, please give me some leadership in this matter of spirituality. Lead us not into temptation. Now, there was a couple Old Testament writers who actually prayed that prayer in different words, but they prayed that prayer. I want to look at one now. If you go to Psalm 119, and I'll look at one later. These were some Old Testament men. We have no idea who wrote Psalm 119, who the author is, but I want you to notice his prayer and how it fits the Lord's prayer that he taught the disciples. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Notice verse 133. He says, order my steps in thy word. So he's praying for leadership. He's praying for leadership. Order my steps in your word. And many of us know how to quote that part of the verse, but look at the rest. And let not any iniquity have dominion over me. He's saying, Lord, order my steps in your word so I don't end up dominated by some iniquity. He's saying, my natural tendency, if I follow my own wisdom, if I follow my own instinct, I'm going to end up in evil. I'm going to end up dominated by iniquity, because that's the nature of every human being, to sin. You that are parents and have had children, you know you did not have to teach your children how to sin, how to be rebellious, how to be disobedient. You have to teach them how to be good. You have to teach them how to say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, please, thank you. None of that came natural. And a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And you just let a child come into the world and give that child no guidance and no discipline and no character training, and you all know what's going to happen to that kid. It's not in man to direct his ways. He's going to end up in trouble and all kinds of maladies he's going to have. No. To be spiritual, we need the direction of God. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. You might want to write that reference right there, Psalm 119, 133. Write it in your New Testament, right next to our text here, Luke 11 and verse 4. Cross-reference verses in your Bible study. Cross-reference verses in your Bible study. Now, getting back to our text here, we know when nature takes over, it takes us away from the Lord and away from spirituality. And we need to realize that we need God's leadership. So Jesus is teaching us, lead us not into temptation. Temptation, the word temptation, of course, in this text, in the context, is talking about evil. But the word literally means an experiment, a trial, or a proving. An experiment, a trial, or a proving. We see the first mention of the word evil is in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, a story very, very familiar to us all. It's the story about Adam and Eve, in particular Eve. It says in Genesis 2 and verse 15, and the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now there's the first mention of evil in the Bible. And it's in reference to a tree. Who made that tree? God made that tree. God made a tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God made that tree. But he told man not to eat thereof. And there was a huge paradise. There were trees all over the place that they could enjoy. He said, any tree you want, enjoy, except that one tree that was in the midst of the garden. He said, don't eat it, because the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Now, why did God make this tree? God made this tree because he made man, and he wanted man to have a free will. He wanted man to choose to serve God, to choose to love God, to choose to have communion with God. And so that tree was planted there as a test, a trial to prove us, to prove our love, to give us a choice. It is not possible for a person to honestly have a free will if there is not a choice. And so there is a tree there, and man is now given a choice about that tree. Now, we must understand something about the nature of God in regards to this. And if you'll turn to James chapter 1, I want to show you how this works, and then we'll come back to that story about the tree. It's very, very important as you understand in regards to our subject tonight about leadership prayer. And that is asking God to lead us away from evil and keep us from it. It says in James 1 and verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. All right, so we can't do any blame shifting here and say, wait a minute, God made that tree, it's all his fault. Evil came all into the world because of God, because he made that tree in the first place. No, no. God made you and I and wanted us to prove our love to him. And you know, every single temptation that we face is still an opportunity for you and I to show God that we love him more than anything. You ought to think that through. Every temptation we face is an opportunity for us to show God, God, I love you more than this. I choose you. God has never, ever tempted any man with evil. Now, when Eve got really, really close to that tree, who was at the tree, God or the devil? Who was there? Anybody remember the story? The devil was there. Wasn't God there? God does not lead us into temptation. He leads us away from it. In fact, God had to come looking for them later, saying, where are you, Adam? Who hangs around the temptation? Who hangs around the areas of temptation? The tempter. The devil. It says in verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So you can see that in Eve, and you can see it in your own lives. Why was she right near that tree? Why do we get so close to temptation? Now this word, this phrase here in verse 14, drawn away. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Notice, you can't even blame it on the devil. There has to be a man or a woman going in the wrong direction first. If Eve would have stayed far away from that tree, the devil would still be standing there by himself. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away. Now this word, this phrase, drawn away, is a metaphor from hunting and fishing. As game are lured from their hiding place in safety. Whether you're using a lure and some bait in a pond or a sea or something, or a turkey call or something, and It begins to lure you away. Now, what does the luring here in verse 14? Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. His own lust begins to lure him and draw him away from God towards that particular interest. So a person becomes drawn away from God and the self-restraint of the Holy Spirit by his own lust, not by God, not by the devil. Now the word lust here means desires, craving, longings, a desire for what is forbidden. Sounds like Eve. It was forbidden of her to eat of that tree. And again, you have to ask the question, looking back at that, why was Eve even near that tree? God had commanded them to stay away from it. Her husband had also. She was drawn away of her own lust. I think she just went walking by, and there was just something about it. She got really close to it many, many times probably in her life and said, I wonder what it is about that tree. Boy, that looks good. And she was drawn away. Drawn away from God and drawn away from God's leadership. Then comes enticement. Verse 14, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. This is where the tempter comes in. This is where you now put the bait on the lure. This means to catch by bait, to allure, to entice, to deceive. Now Satan did this with his words. He is the enticer. He is the tempter. He is a master deceiver and debater. You and I cannot compete with his ability to convince. And so we're just supposed to resist him and stay away. Even Michael the archangel dared not bring against him a railing accusation. He didn't tangle with him. We're just supposed to say, the Lord rebuke thee. You and I wouldn't last in a debate with Satan. He's been around for 6,000 years studying us out. He'd know all the ins and outs and all the ways to deceive us and make us think that's okay if we did this. Then comes conception. Then when lust, verse 15, hath conceived. This means that sin is now born. It seizes a person. It makes him a prisoner. It takes someone away from God. It says it bringeth forth sin. The word sin means to violate God's law. And that's exactly what Eve did. A direct commandment from God. She went completely contrary to it. And it all started back when she was drawn away of her own lust. See, that's the nature. I'm trying to show you tonight the nature of man. The nature of man. And then when sin is finished, it says here, when it comes to an end, it brings forth death. Death here is the misery of the soul arising from sin. It speaks ultimately of physical death, but also of spiritual death, that is the vexing of the soul and the hardening of the heart. We've all experienced death from sin. I think of a good verse that exposes that is Hebrews 3:13. It says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin has a hardening effect on us. And that kills us. For instance, maybe it has killed your passion for souls. Sin can kill your passion for souls. Maybe it kills your joy. Maybe it kills your peace. Maybe it kills your faith and fills you with worry. Sin has a hardening effect on the heart. And maybe it kills your love. Did you ever hear somebody say, oh, I just don't love them anymore. I just don't love her anymore. I guarantee you there's somewhere in that person's life where they've been entertaining sin, and sin has hardened that person's heart. Sin has hardened that person's heart. It kills. When sin is finished, it brings forth death. It kills joy. It kills peace. It kills faith. It kills soul-winning desire. It kills our appetite for prayer. It kills our appetite for the Bible. It kills our appetite for church attendance. It kills our appetite for fellowship. kills our appetite for caring for others or compassion. There's some people whose hearts are so hardened, it's been years since they've even tried to witness to somebody. Or haven't even had a thought about maybe passing out a gospel tract. That's how hard their hearts can get. Yeah, sin's a murderer. Sin's a murderer. So this whole downward process begins when one is drawn away. James 1:14. Now, drawn away from who? From God. From God. So our text brings us into the presence of God. So temptation draws us away from God. Prayer brings us into God's presence. And so Jesus is saying, pray, lead us not into temptation. Now, it's not God that leads us into temptation. We've already seen what leads us into temptation, our own lusts, which draw us away. So Jesus is saying, just pray to God that you will always follow God, because God will never take you even close to that place. Follow Him all day long. I don't know about you, but the weakest moments in my life are when I start getting 2 and 3 and 4 hours away from the prayer time I had in the morning. That's probably why it says Daniel prayed 3 times a day. He just realized, and he was up in his 80s at the time. I think he was in his mid-80s, and it says he prayed 3 times a day. I think he just, through a lot of wisdom of years, came to realize, I need God all the time. One hymn writer said, I need thee every hour, most precious Lord. And I think a lot of times we start out every day in the victory, but then we have a prayer time, and we're okay for a little while, but then we get back in the natural, in the flesh, and we start drifting away from God, and pretty soon we're right back into temptation, and the tempter's there to entice us. And so we are to constantly pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Now, this prayer does not mean that God brings us into the presence of temptation and then says, all right, try your hardest not to yield. No, that's not God. It's saying, dear Lord, please lead me as far away as I follow you today. Leadership praying, Lord, lead me as far away from evil as I can get. As I mentioned, it wasn't God who was near the tree in the garden. It was the devil who had parked there, waiting for someone to entice. It's not God who takes us into the presence of pornography. It's not God who takes us into the presence of alcohol or drugs. It's not God who takes us into the fellowship of gossipers. It's not God who leads us to vile communications such as we see in TV and the internet and movies. It's not God who takes us to hang around the violent or the degenerate or the delinquent. It's not God who takes us to the gambling halls and casinos. It's not God who takes us to the vile music of the world and then says, now try your hardest not to yield. It's not God. When we say, Lord, lead us not into temptation, we're saying, Lord, you be my leader. You keep me as far away from that stuff as possible. Because God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. When we get into those situations, that's when we run smack dab into the tempter, the enticer, the devil, and he says, hey, glad you made it. Let's go ahead and look at that. Let's go ahead and try this. Go ahead and join in that conversation with these people. They're talking down on others and so on. Go ahead. He's right there hanging around evil. It says in Romans 16 and verse 19, we are supposed to be simple concerning evil. Now, simpleton was somebody who didn't know anything. Remember that saying? It's an old word. You don't use it anymore. If you said somebody was a simpleton, we would say he was ignorant or unlearned or something. It says, be simple concerning evil. We're not supposed to know a lot about evil. We're not supposed to know where to find it. and what, where to go to get it, and so on. I know some men who profess to be believers in Christ, and they've got problems with drugs, illegal drugs. And it's amazing. They always know where to find it in town. They always know who to go to. Now we're supposed to be simple concerning evil. I would be clueless tonight on if I wanted to find some dope or pot or something. I would be clueless tonight, and I think most of you would be too. Good for you. And we're supposed to be simple concerning evil. Now God will answer this prayer. I don't know if I've made any sense tonight or not, but God will answer this prayer if we pray it. Turn just a couple more verses and we're done tonight. Turn to 1 Chronicles 4. That's in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. God will answer this prayer. Even if this lesson didn't make any sense, just pray anyways. Lord, lead us not into temptation. But the purpose for this cause is not just to pray, but as it says in 1 Corinthians 14, pray with the understanding. Not just pray, but pray with the understanding, right? Didn't Paul say that? He said, I'll sing, and I'll sing with the understanding. I'll pray, and I'll pray with the understanding. So did you ever see somebody singing? You know they're not there. Years I've spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me, he died on Calvary. You know, and that song didn't, they sang, but they didn't sing with the understanding. And, you know, there's praying, and just go ahead and pray. Even if you're a novice, just pray anyways. But as we grow in prayer, we ought to pray with the understanding. We ought to be able to say, when I'm praying, for instance, last week's lesson, and I say, forgive me of my sins as I forgive others their sins, I should be understanding what I'm saying is, Lord, liberate me from these sins. As far as I know, I've liberated anybody who's ever said anything bad about me or ever hurt me or ever abused me or ever offended me. As far as I know, Lord, I've liberated everybody. I've set them free, and I'll never bring it up again. That's the person who knows what, that's praying with understanding when you pray that way. Now, when we get to this next statement, we say, Lord, lead us not into temptation. The person who prays with the understanding knows that what they're praying is, Lord, if I get away from you today, my nature is just going to naturally take me to evil. And when I get to evil, the tempter's going to be there, the enticer's going to be there, and I fall into that so many times that I'm not going to be able to resist. So, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Let me walk with you all day long, as the psalmist said. Order my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Please keep me in the victory all day long as I stay in your presence. God doesn't take us over to alcohol and says, now, see this stuff here? Let me open, let me pour you out a bottle or a glass. Now, make sure you don't drink it now. That's not what the verse is saying. The verse is saying, here, follow me. You won't ever get near that. You won't ever get anywhere near that stuff. Now, God can answer this prayer. Look at verse 10, 1 Chronicles 4:10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me. And now notice this, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Looks like God can answer that prayer. He's no respecter of persons. If he did it for Jabez, he can do it for us. But Jabez prayed. He prayed with the understanding. He said, oh God, please keep me from evil that it may not grieve me. See, God was blessing him. He was enlarging his coast. He was showing him his power. His hand was with him. And he blessed him indeed. But Jabez knew that if he allowed evil in his life, that evil would blow up the whole thing. Blow up the whole thing. Everything good was God was trying to do. So he prayed. And this is good praying right here. that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Now again, write 1 Chronicles 4:10 in your Bible next to Luke 11, verse 4. So you have a cross-reference of what it really means to pray that prayer Jesus taught us. Now notice the last thing tonight. You say, why? Why should I do this? I love evil. I love sin. It gives me a lot of pleasure. You know, the Bible even confesses that. The Bible makes that admission. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. There's a lot of pleasure in sin. For a little while. A lot of pleasure. Well, let me give you a verse that maybe will help you tonight to see why. And that's in Jeremiah chapter 5. Somebody said, why should, maybe you're a young person here. I've never tasted life. I've never partied. I've never done drugs and alcohol and so on and so forth. And I don't want to miss all these things. Why should I want to avoid evil? Why shouldn't I want to sow my wild oats and so on and so forth? Well, Jabez knew that if he did evil, it would come back to grief. Grief. You ever seen older people with grief sometimes all their lives because of the sins of their youth? Because of the sins of their youth. There have been consequences that affect them still when they're in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. But here's something else. Not only will it grieve you, but in Jeremiah chapter number 5 and verse number 25, it tells us this. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. See, I know sin can give us pleasure for a little bit of time, but it will withhold good things from you. And see, here's where we have the problem. We don't know what those good things are. We've got to ask ourselves tonight, am I willing to sacrifice all kinds of good things God wants to give me just for a little sin and a little pleasure today? But this is the effect of sin. Sin will withhold good things from you. So in the light of that, the prayer tonight for leadership, leadership praying, say, God, lead me away from evil. We can pray with the understanding now in closing, like Jabez, Lord, lead me away from this evil. Let me follow you all day. Because this evil will grieve me, and this evil will withhold good things from me. See, there is a God in heaven who wants to give us good things. And many times he reaches into his bucket of blessings, and he's just about ready to go this and to throw it at somebody and bless them down here on earth. And he sees them sin, and he says, well, I guess I'll have to put this back. And that person goes through their life without those good things. God has some good things planned for you. God has good things planned for me. And all kinds of things. It says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. See, those are the people that live the richest lives. The ones who know the blessings of God. There's a price. You've got to walk with God all the time. Got to walk with God. So I want to encourage you to pray often in the day. Lord, lead me. Let me follow you today. Please let me follow you. And don't let me get drawn away of my own lust. And then the first moment, and you, if you know yourself at all, you know when that's starting to come. You know it. As soon as you're starting to gravitate towards your former lusts, you need to turn back to God and spend some time in prayer. Say, God, give me your power. God, give me your power. I want to walk with you the rest of the day and not draw away. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for tonight. We pray for the blessing of God on this Bible study. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Help us as we talk about deliverance next time, but for tonight, Lord, We pray for your leadership. Father, you are nowhere near that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You have to come searching for Adam and Eve when they were hiding. You weren't near that tree, the devil was. And Lord, when we get drawn away, we're going to run right into him, and we're no match for him. But Lord, if we just stay near you, we won't run into those trees. Help us, Lord. Keep us from evil that it wouldn't grieve us. Keep us from sin and iniquity so we wouldn't have good things withheld from us. Oh Lord, what have we already lost now? I wonder how many good and great lives loaded with benefits have been sacrificed because someone chose sin. Lord, help us. Forgive us. Liberate us. And now, Lord, give us your grace. And we pray for your power yet even this evening in Jesus' name. Amen.